You know, the New Testament gospel starts with God and then calls us to please him. The contemporary gospel starts with us and tells us how God can please us.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, I'm still in Texas. I've been here, for a good full week now. Getting ready to speak tonight at the banquet in Abilene, Texas for the Messianic Jewish Bible Institute. But we are live. Glad to be with you. Glad to take your calls. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. If you have not yet read my article on the apostasy of world vision, if you didn't hear yesterday's show, please go to my website, AskDrBrown.org, and click on latest article to read this very important article. I'll get into a bit more about this tomorrow on the broadcast, even breaking down some of the statements of the president of World Vision, Richard Stearns, which are utterly remarkable statements. I find them mind-boggling for a Christian leader of that stature for statements like that to be made. But if you haven't read the article, please do and share it with others. 866-34-TRUTH. I want to look at a bigger picture today, and I want to encourage you and edify you as well. We're also going to have a special guest that we're going to speak with from another ministry organization where you can direct your giving. If you've been giving to World Vision, but you cannot give in good conscience because of their compromise, because of their horrific redefining of marriage within the workplace and sanctioning homosexual practice in the context of so-called marriage in the workplace at World Vision, you may have an obligation in your heart to help a kid that you may have sponsored. And by all means, I appreciate you wanting to be faithful to that child and stay with that child through the sponsorship. But I encourage you to put your money elsewhere as soon as you're able. And they're fine organizations that are standing for righteousness while caring for the poor. And we'll be hearing from the leader of one of those in a few minutes. But I want to look at the larger picture first. The larger picture is about the gospel message of our generation and our society. As I wrote in my article, Why I Reject the Contemporary, It's All About Me Gospel, the New Testament gospel starts with God, and it tells us what we must do to please him. The contemporary gospel starts with us and tells us what God can do to please us. It's a matter of God being here the way we preach it today, God being here so I can have a happier life. God being here so that I don't have to be lonely or hurting, so I don't have to struggle with guilt. God is here to just help make me happy. Now, let me say plainly, when you really come to know the Lord, the guilt and the condemnation will disappear. When your sins are forgiven and you really come to know the Lord, you will have that transformation. And yes, in the midst of the worst circumstances, there's peace and there's joy and there is hope. And yes, there is eternal life, which begins for us in this world and continues in the world to come. That's all true. But the biblical message is that God is holy, God is righteous, God is just, and God is love. And we have sinned against him, and we have fallen infinitely short, and we are objects of his wrath. And he extends mercy to us through the cross. And if we will receive his mercy, we can spend the rest of our lives serving God. Let me say it again. God is not here to please us. We are here to please him. God is not here to serve us. We are here to serve him. That's why Paul, who deeply understood sonship, who deeply understood the fact that we are sons and daughters of God, identified himself as a doulos, as a bond slave, as a servant of the Lord Jesus. Friends, we've been preaching it the wrong way for a whole generation, and that's why things are going so haywire in so many areas. All right, you're going to be encouraged when we come back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire broadcast, 866-34-TRUTH. A little later in the broadcast, I want to break down some of the different elements of the gospel, the New Testament gospel that starts with us, that starts with God, the contemporary gospel that starts with me, the New Testament gospel that calls us to deny self, take up the cross, follow Jesus, the contemporary gospel that has Jesus dying for me to make me into a bigger and better me. We'll talk about that in a little while, but first I want to introduce a special guest, Marty Martin, who is the Chief Operating Officer and Global Executive Officer of Food for the Hungry. The reason that we wanted to talk to Marty today was in the aftermath of the announcement regarding World Vision's tragic change of policy regarding its employees. We broke the news on the radio yesterday shortly before it was announced on Christianity Today. We were encouraging all of you that could not support World Vision because of your own convictions, because of wanting to do something that was holistically Christian. We said they're fine organizations. We urge you not to stop caring for the poor. In fact, I'm hoping that people stirred by the story will care even more for the poor and get involved in being Jesus and doing what he would do in terms of a heart to help those in need. Get more involved than ever. We said, so if you can't support World Vision, then by all means, there are other organizations. We mentioned a few. We mentioned Compassion International, Samaritan's Purse, and we mentioned Food for the Hungry. As they say in their vision, God called and they responded until physical and spiritual hungers ended worldwide. So we want to let you know about Food for the Hungry and encourage you, if you haven't been involved in ministering to the poor and the needy, let the news about World Vision prompt you to do this. Marty, I'm sure this is a busy day for you, but thank you so much for joining us on the broadcast.
Well, you are most welcome. Thank you for having me.
How is it that you got involved with this yourself so that it's become such an all-consuming life work?
For me, it was repeated exposure to what the scriptures teach about God's special affection for the poor. At some point in my walk as a Christian, I began to be very, very sensitive to the countless passages, Old and New Testament, that underscore the fact that God does indeed have a special affection for the poor and calls us as followers of Jesus to reflect that aspect of the character of God. In a real practical way, it actually was a television show, Nightline, if you recall that, then hosted by Ted Koppel.
Sure.
Back on September 10th, 2001, the night before the relevant September 11th, and he started a program. Was supposed to be a five-part series called Still the Heart of Darkness, The Killing in the Congo. And I saw that first show in the series and have never been as affected by anything in media as I was by that. Somehow a switch flipped, and I just knew that there was some call of God, and not long after that, a friend from Food for the Hungry called, said he was going to Africa. Going to Congo, did I want to come? And I ended up going and then later joined the board of directors of Food for the Hungry, was asked to be the country director for Food for the Hungry in the Democratic Republic of Congo, which I did 2005 and 2006. And then eventually was asked by the board to become the chief operating officer. So That was the journey. It was a combination of the scripture and contemporary events.
What have you seen around the world? Paint a picture for me of some of what you've seen firsthand.
Well, much of what I have seen that is most memorable comes from those areas, and DR Congo is a great example of that, where there is significant, widespread, extreme poverty. poverty in all of its manifestations is tragic, and I think it calls for a response. But I think it's also true that we need to realize that there are different levels of poverty, and the kind of poverty that we experience and see in the United States is what might be called relative poverty, where people are stuck in circumstances where they have very little hope of ever being able to climb out of it. At the same time, there is some margin in their lives and there is some safety net. People who live in moderate poverty really have no safety net. They're on the edge, and if anything happens, it kicks the equation in the direction of extreme poverty, which is the poverty where your basic nutritional and housing and security needs are not being met, and it is actually life-threatening. And when we try to monetize that, there are approximately 20% of those who live on this earth who live on less than $1.25 a day. For the most part, those people are the ones who are in extreme poverty. Moderate poverty, another 20% of the world's population, and then a significant percentage of the world's population between moderate poverty, which a monetary benchmark for that would be $2 a day. Many people in the 60% above them that still fall well below what we would consider the poverty level in the United States. So more than half the planet is living in poverty of a level that we do not even see in the United States. And I think it's important for those of us who have been so blessed in this country to recognize that that is the reality. Yeah. In most of the world, and that we as Christians really are called to do something about that.
Marty, I've been to India now 21 straight years, and the first trip, I was just so devastated. I remember seeing a beggar family, the whole family living on the ground near a train station, the kids being raised in that environment, just utterly filthy and very, very thin. And then as we traveled around and we encountered the blind and lepers begging, and my wife visited a leper hospital and so on, you get so overwhelmed, you almost get paralyzed because you just don't know what to do. And the needs are so massive, you think, well, what can I do? Obviously, it's why ministries of compassion also focus on individuals. Here's how you can help one. Here's how you can help another. But give me an idea, give our listeners an idea of what happened if they began to support Food for the Hungry or a ministry like yours, and they gave regularly, they gave $25 or $50 a month. What does that actually mean to someone in these desperate parts of the world?
Well, great question, Michael. And I think, my first response would be you really can make a difference, and you can make a difference that is going to be measurable, and measurable in a period of time that is not extended. Certainly when one engages, and for example, in a child sponsorship type of arrangement, an incredibly powerful development tool, there is a relationship with a particular child in a particular community, and one can see the impact that his or her involvement with that child is bringing about. But when we expand that to a more macro level, some really interesting statistics that I think it is important for people to know, because they illustrate how incredibly impactful we can be if we have the will to address these problems. Compared to the year 2000, according to UNICEF, pneumonia today will kill 625,000 fewer children this year than it did in the year 2000. Diarrhea will kill 663,000 fewer children this year. Measles will kill 397,000 fewer children. Malaria, 228,000 fewer children. HIV and AIDS, more than 100,000 fewer children. This year alone, 6 million fewer children will die before the age of 5 than in 1990.
Wow.
That's
Marty,
pretty incredible.
That's more than incredible. It's mind-boggling. If I can just get you to stay on right past the break, just a couple more minutes. We want to connect our listeners to you, let them know what they can do to partner together to make a difference.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire broadcast. Michael Brown, in the aftermath of what we shared about World Vision yesterday, we really want to present to our listeners other ways where you can connect organizations you can give to that have not compromised certain fundamental Christian values. And thankfully, there are fine ministries, quite a few of them, that are really making a difference around the world. I'm looking right now at the Food for the Hungry website, foodforthehungry.com, and I'm noticing kids you can sponsor in Africa, things you can do to help with the atrocities taking place in Syria. A great need remain in the Philippines. We have a lot of our missionaries there in the Philippines that are in humanitarian relief after the terrible typhoon there. Overwhelming to see the needs of the world, but as Marty Martin, who is the Chief Operating Officer and Global Executive Officer for Food for the Hungry, as he just shared right before the break, on a micro level and a macro level, Christians are making a massive difference. So, Marty, and again, the stats you shared right before the end of the show, the end of the last break, were amazing to hear. And when I look on your website and see the individual faces, I'm reminded that each one of those numbers, of those hundreds of millions, is an individual that has life, that has health, that wouldn't have had it, excuse me, otherwise. You're involved in Syria, you're involved in Philippines, around the world. If folks want to get involved with Food for the Hungry, what's the best way for them to do that so that they can make a difference?
Well, Michael, I think the best way would be to do what you have done, to go to our website, fh.org, and it has a significant amount of information about who we are as an organization, where we're working, how one can become involved, and we would certainly welcome the partnership of any who are feeling the tug of God on their heart and are inclined to go and learn more about us.
Excellent. So that is foodforthehungry.com. You can sponsor a child. And by the way, this is something we're encouraging you to do. There is nothing that our ministry is getting through this. We don't have an official partnership. We don't receive a percentage of funds. We're simply doing this out of love for God and love for people and wanting to expose you to a fine ministry, making a difference. And Marty, just last question for you. Do you know roughly the amount of people that you're able to reach directly in the course of a year?
Yes, it is really a pretty staggering number, in excess of 7 million last year, and that includes partnerships on a national level in Burundi, where we are able to supply deworming medication throughout the entire country, but then in programs that we have in Asia, Latin America, and Africa. We are privileged to be working in 18 countries, roughly evenly distributed between Asia, Latin America, and Africa, and through those are able to have a very profound impact on the well-being of the most vulnerable.
Yeah, wonderful. Well, what a gospel work, what an extension of the love of God in a tangible way. Thanks so much for joining me on the air. That is Marty Martin, foodforthehungry.com. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you, Michael. God bless you.
God bless. There are, again, key organizations we want to encourage you to get behind. Your local church may be involved with a different ministry organization helping individuals. Remember, you're basically helping one person at a time, so continue to be faithful to doing that. I have a question. I want to now get back to our larger subject, the contemporary gospel preached in so many of our churches in America versus the biblical gospel. I have a question for you, a larger question. As we see so much compromise from the pulpits in America, and now shocking compromise, although they deny it's compromise, in a massive Christian relief organization like World Vision, which had at its outset men like Bob Pierce and Carl F.H. Henry that never in their wildest dreams would have countenanced a compromise like this. As you see these things happening, as you see the state of our nation, do you personally believe that God is currently judging America? Do you believe that we are already under judgment? In other words, be it the $16 trillion in debt that we are, be it the destruction of so many of our families through so many different means, be it the amount of sexually transmitted diseases that are rampant in our culture. I've read that one out of every four teenage girls has some kind of sexually transmitted disease. Do you see it through natural disasters? Do you personally believe that God is judging America? Maybe you have a theology that says, no, all judgment was poured out at the cross. God doesn't judge today. Maybe you say, oh, judgment is coming. What do you think? Do you personally believe God is judging America? 866-34-TRUTH. Now, that being said, I mentioned natural disasters. Please, please don't jump to some conclusion when you hear about the tragic landslide in the state of Washington. In very small communities, rural Washington, that took the lives of a number of people and others feared dead that are missing or presumed dead at this point. I mean, who can imagine this? You're just going about your business and living normal life, and suddenly you're swept away with a landslide. I am not suggesting that that was some type of divine judgment or that there must have been exceptional wickedness. No. My heartfelt condolences to those who've been affected by this. It's an agonizing event. And if you want to draw a conclusion, then do what Jesus did in Luke 13, said, hey, we all deserve judgment in that respect. So we pray in the midst of these calamities for mercy, and we do what we can to relieve suffering. But do you personally believe that America today, now, is under divine judgment? Do you personally believe that our country, either the hand of God has been removed in some ways, or active judgment is coming against us, or do you expect great shaking? As you look to the future of America, do you expect great shaking to come and massive upheaval, or do you think it's going to be peace and quiet and prosperity? 866-34-TRUTH will take your calls on the other side of the break. May I encourage you, friends, to partner with us as we are on the front lines of standing for righteousness. Someone posted a note to me yesterday, Mike, don't stop, don't ever stop, don't stop rocking the boat. Well, I have no intention of stopping. I feel like I'm just getting started in so many ways. But this is a partnership. This is something we do together. We want to send you my book, Revolution, The Jesus Call to Change the World, along with a beautifully printed 10 Commitments of a Jesus Revolutionary that'll help you to live this out day by day. Your gift of any size, I want to send this to you. 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast, 866-34-TRUTH. But I looked away from our phone lines literally for 45 seconds. Literally for 45 seconds, I looked away. And when I looked back, all the phone lines, our entire board was completely lit up. Thank you so much for joining us on the Line of Fire. I asked the question about judgment. Do you believe that America is currently under judgment? Or do you believe that great judgment is coming our way? I wrote an article that was posted on Monday, Why I Reject the Contemporary It's All About Me Gospel. You can read it by going to AskDrBrown.org, clicking on latest article. You'll see it as the second one down following my article today on the apostasy of world vision. And I explained in the article that when Paul wrote to the Romans, he wanted to be sure they understood the true gospel. And so after declaring the gospel is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, the first major subject he addressed was the wrath of God. Yet Paul took extensive time in writing to the Romans. He wanted them to understand the gospel. He'd never been to Rome. And where does he start? He starts with the wrath of God. I mean, we hardly even want to speak about it today. Romans 1:18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. And then he spends 14 verses talking about it. He didn't start with a message of God's love. He didn't start with a sweet sermon about how the Lord wants each of us to be happy and fulfilled. He didn't go out of his way to make sure that his plain speech didn't offend his hearers or hurt their feelings. Yes, he told the Roman believers they were loved by God, Romans 1:7. He absolutely exalted Jesus right from the start, Romans 1:3 and 4. But Paul hardly preached some sappy, sentimental, feel-good message. Why do we think we have to preach that today? Do we know better than Paul? Do we understand the gospel better than Paul? Do we understand grace more than Paul? Paul proclaimed that God's wrath against sinners was clearly revealed, that human beings had no excuse, and that all of us, Jew and Gentile alike, were guilty in his sight and in desperate need of his mercy. Look, these were the main themes of the first three chapters of his book. And then after he explained justification by faith and the extraordinary grace that we enter into through what Jesus has done, he calls us to holiness, and he calls us to be slaves, servants of God. I've got some audio clips I want to share with you in a moment. but first, let's go to the phones, 866-34-TRUTH, and we'll start with Rhonda in Colonia, New Jersey. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. I listen to you when I can, which is pretty much every day, picking up my kids from school. I appreciate your message, and I absolutely do believe that America is right now facing the wrath of God. And you know, just like Romans 1 said, you just read it, it's being revealed. If there's really no true gospel to be found. I mean, there's a narrow way that we have to find, and the Bible says the gate is wide, but there's really no, you can't even find a gate to get into these days. There is no true gospel. No one here preaches about repentance. No one preaches about being holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. It's all about motivation and making congregants feel good when they leave. I feel great. Oh, wasn't that a great message? Sure it was, but where is the condemnation that you should feel? Where is the conviction? Where is the Holy Spirit message being preached? You really don't find it. And that is one of the signs that I believe is the sign of judgment.
Rhonda, what you said is eloquent, clear, articulate, to the point. May God awaken us. Also, to all my friends that are listening on WMCA, I've got a special announcement I'll make in a moment. Stay with us.
World.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire broadcast. I'm going to go back to your calls momentarily, but I do have an important announcement to make. If you're listening to us on WMCA, our great station in New York City and into New Jersey, beginning this Monday, March 31st, you will have to listen to the second half of the broadcast online, or if you're in your car through an app on your cell phone, just because of the need to get more listener support. We are unable to support the cost of being on the air in some of our key stations around the country. We've stretched every way we know how. We just need to hear from more of you, our listeners. We need hundreds more torchbearers, monthly supporters to be standing with us as the funds come in and time slots are available. We hope to be back for the full hour and perhaps even more in the future. But come this Monday, you'll hear the first hour live on your radio station. Then you'll have to keep listening online or via cell phone, and we'll be putting out information on our websites via email, letting you know how you can continue to listen via cell phone when you're in your car so you don't have to miss any of the show. In fact, you can actually listen to two full hours if you like. So we'll let you know how to do that. We are massively committed to the New York City area, greater New York. We continue to broadcast throughout Long Island on Hope Radio. So it's our desire to expand, but right now we're in a period of divine pruning, and we simply cannot go beyond where our funds are. So as there's more listener support, we expect to expand what we're doing right now. And some of stations, we will be cutting back fairly radically. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Robert in Jersey City, New Jersey. Thank you for calling The Line of Fire.
Hello?
Yes, hello.
Hey, Mike Brown. God bless you. Hello. I really believe that the country is going through a lot of judgment, and it's not even starting yet. It's kind of coming into play. But even the entire world, you have Egypt, you have all those nations crying fire, and you have the possibly a Magog-Gog situation in Russia. But in the United States, we have 17 states that allow same-sex marriages. And it's not even normal or natural, but it's, you know, against God's word. So, yeah, I believe we're going through some type of judgment.
And Got it. Hey, Robert.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
No, go ahead. I was just going to jump in. I appreciate the call. The question would be, does Romans 1 indicate that as a nation comes under more and more judgment, that it is given to more idolatry, that it is given to more sexual immorality, that it is given to more homosexual practice, that it is given to more sins of the flesh? I say absolutely yes, based on Romans 1. That is one way that God's wrath is being revealed on society. 866-34-TRUTH. I want to play a couple of audio clips for you, then go back to your phones, to indicate just how messed up our thinking is. So many people in our society who start with the idea of it's about me. It's how I define sin. It's what I feel right or wrong about. Joy, I want to start with number 6. There was a gay pride event at Duke University. A couple of our team members went there to interview some folks, and there's a young man, teenager, who explains how he lost his faith. And this is one of the comments that he made. It's a real eye-opener. Clip number 6.
One day I was thinking about the universe and why I can't do what I want. Why, you know, if I want to sleep with two girls, why can't I do that? Why can't I do what I want?
Yeah, that's it. Why can't I do what I want? Why can't I do what makes me feel good? Why can't I satisfy my flesh? So what do? We now tell sinners how, well, they can just have a better life with God because it's all about me. There's no aspect of judgment. There's no aspect of judgment in this world or final judgment in the world to come. In fact, the idea that there's any kind of coming judgment, well, how could that be? That would just make God mean and angry. Well, what about the fact that we sin? What about the fact that we make wrong choices? What about the fact that we disobey God? Are there no consequences to that? Here, this is another Gay Pride event where we did some interviews last year. And these are young ladies who, every one of them, they all said that they were professing Christians. They didn't say they're professing Christians. They said they were Christians. Clip number two.
In your definition, like when you think of sin, what
is something that harms someone else that's not out of love or respect? If you know that you're doing, like, what you're doing is wrong consciously, then that's
okay. So for your
thing, yes, what morality, you think is morally right,
moral,
or morally
and a personal thing,
yes.
Like you don't think like the Bible can set a standard or
no,
another.
Okay. They can use it as guidelines, but each individual person is able to choose, you know, how far that they take it.
Yeah. Oh, boy. But that is the spirit of the age. Yeah, I mean, guidelines through the Bible. And they all, by the way, they all of them said, yeah, teachers, they were at a Gay Pride event supporting it, quote, as Christians. And then here, Jay Baker, he was interviewed on CNN by Don Lemon. And I understand a lot of where Jay's coming from, getting burned the way in some of the environment in which he was raised, in the Christianity in which he was raised. I hurt for him, but his profession of faith is reactionary and ends up doing more harm than good. So clip number eight next, the question of hell, the question of coming judgment, in his mind, no, it's, Don Lemon and Jay Baker have a different perspective as to why these themes are preached in churches.
It has been said that fire and brimstone really is about mind control and about controlling people to be like what you think they should be or how you want them to be. Do you think it's about control?
Yeah, I think it's about control, and I also think it's about preachers who are worried about how their congregation's going to reflect on them. It was a way to control people. It's a way to, also, I think it's a way to feel better about yourself. You think, well, I'll follow these rules and these rules and these rules, and this will connect me to God. But when you're under grace, you just kind of have to trust and faith.
I don't doubt that there are some people in church history that the subject of hell has been used in a manipulative way, that it's been used just to scare people and to drive them with guilt, and in some corrupt cases to generate money for the church. I don't doubt that's the case. But a thousand times more, I want to emphasize that when Jesus talked about it, he talked about it to warn us that God is a righteous judge. The universe would fall apart if God was not a righteous judge. And there is a coming judgment. We can debate the exact nature of the punishment of hell or the fire of hell, but there is coming judgment for every human being, and we will give account. And on that day, when we're exposed to the perfect holiness of God, all of our excuses will vanish. Everyone will vanish, and we'll realize devastatingly guilty as charged. That's the power of the cross. That's the power of the cross. Jesus took the judgment for us so that we could receive the love of the Father and become sons and daughters of God. Why do we need to water that down? Why do we need to now come up with some kind of special deal? Just because we don't want to hurt anybody. We don't want to offend anybody. What kind of message is that? What kind of gospel is that? 866-34-TRUTH. Again, the question, do you believe that America is currently under judgment or that great shaking is coming our way? Let's go to Manassas, Virginia. Mary, thank you for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello. You know, it appears that God is long-suffering because the deterioration that we face is not, you know, apparent to everyone. And, I believe that, I don't know if we're under the wrath of God, but definitely, you know, we're suffering from the consequences of us ignoring His word and His will. And the law of God, and just a total disrespect for God and for Jesus Christ. So, you know, our families are deteriorating. You know, Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts are not what they used to be. The schools are not what they used to be. Our economy is suffering. And it seems to be, I guess, to us who are, you know, on top of this and you know, it's current in our minds, we see a quicker decline, but everyone else is seeing it as a slow decline. It almost as though, you know, God is slow to anger, and but wrath is coming and judgment is coming, and there's going to be a final day when all of this is summed up. And I think my responsibility is just to continue to preach the gospel and to continue, you know, to help people understand about living holy before God, so that, you know, we feel that, well, you know, I sinned and, you know, I live this way and nothing has happened to me. But we look at the next generation, you know, and look at our grandchildren. We see this, you know, horrible deterioration.
Yeah, just the lack of God consciousness. Very eloquent, very clear, Mary. Lack of God consciousness in the generations. And absolutely, undeniably, we're reaping the consequences of our own sins. We'll be right back.
Give us strength to always do what's right.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, as I had written in my article, Why I Reject the Contemporary Gospel, contemporary, it's all about me, gospel. When I had written that article, I mentioned how Paul explaining God's wrath against sin and our universal sinfulness, Jew and Gentile alike, and then explaining justification by faith. He then lays out our call to serve God. We must consider ourselves dead to sin, alive to God. Romans 6:17-18, thanks be to God that you were once slaves of sin. You who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed, and having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. Paul says we find our freedom in Jesus as slaves of righteousness. A fascinating story from Religion News Service, March 21st, Trevor Grundy reporting. He notes how the Church of England's Sunday attendance continues a downward slide. And according to these stats, in 2012, only 800,000 adults attended church on Sunday. Is that just Church of England or the churches beyond that? That would be even more staggering, down from 1.6 million Sunday worshipers in 68. Well, that's still a low number. But there's an extraordinary quote from Baroness Brenda Hale. She's one of the nation's top women judges. She told a conference at Yale Law School that the Church of England is declining because it's so undemanding. Fascinating. She said it has no dietary laws, no dress codes for men and women, and very little that its members can say is actually required of them by way of observance. Isn't that remarkable? She's saying that it asks so little of you, that's a reason that it is in decline. But that's what we do with the gospel today. We just make it nice and palatable so everybody will like it. And you can't call someone. You can't put any demands on anyone. When as I use my standard analogy, you go to a nice restaurant for a nice meal with your family, a special time out, everyone's dressed up, they go to the special restaurant. You're not going there to clean toilets. They can't now say, okay, we need you all back here at 6 in the morning because we're going to be pulling carpets and renovating. I'm here for dinner, man. Well, that's the way we make it with our churches, so that when we try to put a demand on someone as a disciple, like, hey, man, I didn't sign up for this. I just signed up to get rid of the guilt and have a better life. Let's go to the phones. Jim in – all right, let's go to Boston. Tiffany in Boston, what do you think about divine judgment and America, Tiffany?
Well, today I believe that the focus is to be placed on the perfection of every human being that exists on the earth in order that God may save the world. I believe that things that are happening that we refer to as sin is actually experiences that are helping us to become the awareness, become self-aware of the higher intelligence, the higher self that wants to have a connection to the source we call God. And in order for that to happen, we must remove all thoughts of negativity that exist in the mind today.
All right, well, so Tiffany, that we can, let me just ask you this. Do you believe that there are absolutes that God lays out in the Bible?
I believe that God's word does not just exist in the Bible. I believe
I understand that, but do you believe that when God says in Scripture and gives absolute laws and commandments of things that we must not do, do you believe those are absolute moral standards or that those are negotiable based on our own experience?
It's not that it's negotiable. It is that whatever the lesson is you are to learn in this life, there is certain consequences that you will experience. And I believe that you have to surrender to the power of God, the source of all creation. And you have to be willing to hear his voice and be able to do what he says do, mm-hmm. go where he says go, say what he says to say to whomever he says to say it to.
All right. And do you think that we have the power to do this on our own, or that without the help of Jesus we are lost?
That's the problem. The problem, and it's the only problem that exists today, which is separation. We must close the gap that we have created due to ego, believing that whatever we do is because of our own power, and we have become disconnected from the source. So we have to become reconnected, realigned with the power of God that will lead us and guide us to all truth. And that if that is not accomplished at this time in our lives, the world will end in destruction. God is saying through all our experiences that we are coming to the point on the cross where the vertical line and the horizontal line is intersecting. And when you have come to that point in your life, you must choose. You must choose either the vertical path or the horizontal path. And that's where we are.
Okay.
So
just got to jump in. Just got to jump in, Tiffany. I appreciate your passion. So the only way to get right with God, to connect to the source, is through the cross, is through Jesus, is through his death. We are hopelessly lost. We are hopelessly guilty without him. The human race, with all of its good qualities, which reflect the image of God, and all of our compassionate acts and all of these other things, and when we'll put someone else first and help them, the fact of the matter is, on our very best day and our very best qualities, we are hopelessly lost. That's why Jesus went to the cross. And that's why without him, all we can look forward to is judgment. You can either stand before God and say, all right, check me out and give me what I deserve, in which case we're all hopelessly lost forever, or you can say, God, have mercy on me, a sinner, and I recognize that you've poured out mercy through the cross. If you cry out to him, he will have mercy on you. No matter what you've done, no matter how far you've gone, he will have mercy on you and give you a new life through Jesus. But friends, let us not water the message down. Okay, our phone lines are still jammed. I'm going to continue this subject and get into it a little bit more. Are we under divine judgment here in America? So just stay on the phone lines and we'll get right back to you on the other side of the break. We must have revival. We must have outpouring. It really is for the Church of America and our nation, revival or we die, visitation or it's all over. We have absolutely free a 16-lecture class I did on revival. You can download it on my website. But you've got to do it quickly. It's only a free offer through the end of this month, and the lectures are yours to keep. They'll stir your heart. So do it now. Go to my website, askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org. You'll see it, the first or second slide. Click on it. Download the files. Your heart will be stirred. My bottom line today, there are many signs that America is under the judgment of God. Therefore, we should pray the prayer of Habakkuk, Lord, in wrath, remember mercy. You know, the New Testament gospel starts with God and then calls us to please him. The contemporary gospel starts with us and tells us how God can please us.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I've got a question for you. When is the last time you heard a message on the wrath of God? When is the last time you heard a message on the wrath of God? Think about it. It's a major theme of Scripture. It was something Jesus spoke about frequently. Paul focuses on it at the beginning of his letter to the Romans, having never been to Rome. And hoping to go there, he wanted the Romans to understand the gospel clearly, so he spends substantial time at the beginning of his letter talking about the wrath of God and the universal sinfulness of man before explaining justification by faith. It's like saying, well, we have a hospital, but there's nobody sick. We have a prison, but there are no criminals. No, you have a prison because of criminals. You have hospitals because people are sick. You need to be justified and forgiven because of universal human sin. When's the last time you heard a message on the wrath of God? Michael Brown, thanks for joining us on the Line of Fire. I asked a question last hour. I want to continue to ask it this hour. And then later in the broadcast, I want to encourage you with some stories of faith and how God does come through as we are in His will and put our trust in Him. If you've not read my article on the apostasy of world vision, please read it and share it. You can go there, just go to AskDrBrown.org and click on latest article. You can read that. And while you're there, also click on the article right before that, Why I Reject the Contemporary Gospel. The contemporary, it's all about me gospel. I believe you will be stirred as you read these, and they will tie in with my show today. When you get to the book of Revelation, there's a lot about God's wrath. Yeah, wrath poured out from the throne. And if you will do a little search, I did it years ago in the scriptures, the phrase, I will pour out. If you think of the phrase, I will pour out my, well, the first thing I would think of, God saying this, God promising it, I will pour out my, the first thing I think of is spirit. First thing that would come to my mind, God says, I will pour out my spirit. But actually, more commonly in Scripture, when God promises to pour something out, it's His wrath. Yes. When's the last time you heard a message on the wrath of God? Well, you see, that was like the old days. And you see, today that wouldn't work. Oh, so God has changed? Or the world has changed? Human beings weren't sensitive a century ago or 1,000 years ago or 10,000 or 5,000 years ago? They weren't sensitive back then? And I was not trying to get into the dating of the earth or dating of the human race. Okay, I was just using random numbers there to make a point. So let's, I start getting flooded with phone calls on either side of the old earth, young earth debate. So in Jesus' day, human beings weren't sensitive. And in Paul's day, they weren't sensitive. And in Moses' day, they weren't sensitive. In Jeremiah's day, they weren't sensitive. Just today, and somehow that we have to just cater to people now, could it be that's part of our problem? Well, I'm not saying that we get up in our pulpits and condemn God's people and blast God's people and make people feel guilty. I'm simply saying God's a righteous judge and He does bring judgment. Do you personally believe that America today is under divine judgment? Do you have a theology that says God doesn't judge now? That was all poured out at the cross. There'll be future judgment, but none in this age. Do you believe that there are signs of judgment in America already? Or signs that judgment is at the door? What do you think? We'll take your calls. I'll get right back to your calls on the other side of the break. 866-34-TRUTH.
God of light, hear our cry, send God by.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Send the fire. Send the fire of revival. Send the fire of divine judgment. What are we praying for when we ask for God to send the fire? 866-34-TRUTH. Do you personally believe that America is currently under divine judgment? Do you believe that great shaking is coming for our nation? I mean, if so, how should we respond? How should we be living? How should we be praying? And doesn't 1 Peter 4 say that judgment begins with the household of faith? 866-34-TRUTH. To the phones in Manhattan, Jay, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi. And, you know, in New York, we only hear the first hour. Remember you went to the American Bible Society with Kevin McCullough?
Oh, yeah, of course. No, I know that. There's only one city in America that gets both hours live, and that's Charlotte. Charlotte, North Carolina. That's the only city. Ultimately, it's our goal, as God provides funds, to do that all over America. Some cities only get a half hour, and some cities, as of next Monday, we just remind our listeners, we will be getting off of your radio airwaves on some cities across America because of lack of listener support. As soon as that support rises, we hope to be back on. And also, you don't have to miss any of the show ever, friends, because you can always listen live online or even in your car. We'll tell you about an app you can get on your cell phone and listen for free via your cell phone. That being said, back to you, Jay. What's your thought on the judgment issue?
Last July 26th, Andrew Wama came to New York, and he said that judgment was not on the United States because Jesus' blood, you know, was shed for that. And he said, you know, he cited Romans, you know, 8:1-2. But he said the problem is that Christianity is sort of impotent. You were even talking about that, remember, with revival and some other things. The problem is that when people like Ellen DeGeneres and Brad Pitt is like very anti-Christian, come off with more Christian ethic than people who are Christian, you know. And some Christians, when you see them on television, they look like they're an extension of the Tea Party or the GOP. They're more like a political party.
I understand. Yeah, well, you know, we swing one way or the other, don't we, Jay? We swing the way that Andrew Womack has, saying that there is no judgment because it's been poured out at the cross. So that's not true. That's for individuals. Judgment came on Jerusalem for rejecting the gospel, rejecting the Messiah, and Jesus wept over it and shared what was coming. Judgment came on Ananias and Sapphira in the book of Acts, on Herod in the book of Acts, and Elymas the sorcerer in the book of Acts, some with death, some with blindness. Judgment certainly came because of sin. The book of Revelation makes plain that there will be massive wrath from God poured out on the earth because people have rejected him. So it's individually, there is no condemnation for those who are in Jesus. So,
you know, when you mentioned the wrath of God, Jack Van Impe, John Hagee, and Charles Stanley talk about the wrath of God all the time.
Yeah, hey, could be. They would be among the few. But, Jay, we tend to swing one way or the other, either the extreme of saying there is no judgment or going the extreme of just making these into political issues and putting such a focus on social things that we don't preach a holistic gospel message.
Do you think there'll be another Azusa Street?
Well, Azusa Street was unique in that the modern Pentecostal outpouring spread around the world. We don't need another Azusa Street in that respect because we have over a half billion charismatics, Pentecostals around the world today, which you could say spread directly from what God did there. Or even though it was happening in different parts of the world, even before Azusa Street. But on the other hand, do we need awakening? And do I expect there to be another awakening in America? I believe there will be. I believe there will be another awakening in America. I do believe there will be a great shaking, and I do believe there will be a massive awakening, and it will not just be, oh, wonderful, the Lord's moving in our church. I expect a whole lot of shaking and conviction and upheaval and a real separation between those who really want God and those who don't. Hey, thank you, sir, for the call. Always good to hear from you. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Saddleback, New Jersey. Darren, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hey, good afternoon, Dr. Brown. How are you doing today?
Doing well, thanks.
Good. Dr. Brown, I would like to just share that, in my opinion. I think as we look at our time today, it appears that, as the Bible says, the God of this world is having his way throughout the United States in every area when it comes to simple things that you watch. Obviously, the sexual transition, I'll call it, in our society, and how that can get approved in our nation. And then when you try and save the children with gun control, you can't get that, you know. So as you look and compare to the evils that our society is so readily accepting, it's no wonder it's like a tidal wave over the prayers of the nation, you know.
Yeah, you know what's so distressing, Darren, is that something happens and we're like, oh, that's bad. Then we kind of yawn, and then you get used to it. And then it keeps going further. I was watching something on TV, sports or something, and I was surprised with vocabulary used, and I thought, I guess that's acceptable now. And then reading an article, it was just a news sports article I was reading online, and there was profanity in it. It was just a major sports website, and I thought, the thing just shifts again. This is now acceptable, or certain nudity is acceptable, and whatever. And little by little, we are like the frog in the water that gets hotter and hotter, and by the time it's boiling and it's going to cost us our lives, it's too late. So absolutely, the gradual moral, cultural, spiritual deterioration, and it happens in the church, it happens among us. We must turn to God. We must turn to God and implore him for mercy. Thank you for the call. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Patchogue, Long Island, where I preached one of my first messages as a teenager. Welcome, Tom, to the Line of Fire.
Thank you. It's good to be on. I had a comment on Is America Under Judgment?
Yes, and, please. Go ahead.
Okay. And what I'm thinking is that when America en masse leaves God, turns our back on him, and when we start to go against him, what's happening is we've left his protection, we've left his covering and his blessing, and in so doing, we leave ourselves wide open to sin and the powers of the air. And so it's, and a whole host of other things, you know. One thing is, I was thinking that, you know, our country had always, if there weren't always believers in it, as we understand salvation, certainly they subscribe to the Bible and its morality and its ethics. And when you leave all that behind, you lose its protection because we're walking away from our covenant.
Yeah, so there is an aspect of judgment where God withdraws a blessing, or where we are sowing to the flesh and reaping to the flesh. That is also a clear aspect of divine judgment, as I understand it scripturally. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Da Nang in Atlanta, Georgia. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Thank you, Dr. Brown. I wanted to respond to your question. In the book of Psalms, it says that a nation who forgets God shall be turned into hell. And I see a lot of destruction throughout the United States in terms of morality, even with the commercials that are on now that once were innocent, but now there are a lot of sexual implications to it. And I believe, yes, we're going to be judged, and we're in that process. I believe that.
Do you believe that there is hope in the midst of it, that if we turn to God, he can still have mercy?
I believe, like, I agree with
you. Yeah, somehow I lost you there, so I'm not quite sure what you were agreeing with, but clearly judgment on the horizon. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Lynette in Wyandanch on Long Island. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Oh, God bless you, Dr. Brown. I love your ministry, and I'm your ministry is part of my answer that I believe that there's still hope. Yes, we serve a holy God and a righteous God, and yes, we are succeeding in getting him exceedingly angry, but he has said that judgment begins at the house of God. So when I see things like what's happened with World Vision, I believe that there's still some hope. I still see people that are praying. I still see people that are seeking after God.
Yeah, in fact, Lynette, many are crying out. There is a remnant. Thank you also for the kind words. Appreciate it.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, one thing that we should test our message by is it cross-cultural? I don't mean every phrase, every word that we use. I don't mean every illustration we use. But the fundamental message, is it cross-cultural? Can it be preached in different nations, in different cultural settings, and will it still ring true? Michael Brown, welcome to the Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. I remember sharing the gospel in a village in India and was explaining how we're under the burden of sin. And here these were Hindus, and they all agreed that they were under burden of sin, that they believed that they were guilty. Now, they were guilty in the sight of the gods or whatever their conception of God was. They had no understanding of the gospel, had never heard that before. But it's interesting how they recognize sin and guilt. Sometimes you have to phrase things certain ways. But I remember preaching in India one time and looking at the crowd before a night meeting, and I said to the brother I work with there, my dear friend Yesu Padam, I said, "Did Indians sin the same way as Americans?" He said, Yes, brother. You know, you've got people out there that are adulterers. You've got people out there that are greedy. You've got people out there who are drunkards. You've got people out there who are child beaters. You've got people out there who are sexually immoral in other ways, and on it goes, because human beings are human beings. So let's try preaching our sweet, sappy, feel-good American gospel message in Nigeria. Oh, by the way, it does get preached there, and there is a corruption of the message that's there, and a hyper-prosperity message that some pastors and leaders are terribly taking advantage of. Let's go in the midst of the persecuted church in northern Nigeria and tell them the sweet, sappy message, and what a wonderful, sweet life they'll have if they just follow Jesus and they come to you missing limbs. I just heard in my news feed in my ear, Voice of the Martyrs, persecution.com, talking about how Boko Haram, Islamic terrorists there in northern Nigeria, have persecuted Christians, have killed them, beheaded them, have cut off arms or legs, and how Voice of the Martyrs is working with these Christians to give them prosthetic arms and legs after the horror they've suffered. Go into other persecuted parts of the world. Go into the Muslim world. And where Christians are literally, if you convert to Christianity from Islam, you are literally forfeiting your life in some cultures. If your own family gets you, you'll be dead. Just tell me the sweet, sweet lie. The sweet, sweet lie. Oh, how nice Jesus will make you feel. Come on, friends. Let's wake up to reality. Yes, serving God is like nothing else. Knowing God is like nothing else. Having Jesus as best friend and Savior is like nothing else. Having God as your Father is like nothing else. Eternal life, forgiveness of sins, peace, joy, that's all real. But God doesn't have to cut some deal with us. Jesus says, if anyone wants to come after you, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever saves his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake in the gospel will find it. That's just gospel 101. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go back to the phones. Vancouver, Washington. Victor, welcome to the Line of Fire.
No, thank you, Michael. Basically, anything that disobeys God's word is sin. And the first commandment is, I'm the Lord thy God, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And in this nation, they teach freedom of religion, which says all the religions are equal. Jesus Christ is equal with all the other religions, which is breaking the first commandment, and the Christians are going along with that. They're putting man's freedom up above obedience to God's word. Man in his freedom will sin, and that's all he'll do is sin, and he'll be anti-Christ.
So we basically preach a message of fleshly liberty, that,
yeah,
that come to Jesus and do your thing, as opposed to come to Jesus and your old life will end and you'll find freedom by serving God.
Yeah, man's freedom trumps God's word. See, we're sinners. And the most free man in Hitler's Germany was Hitler. And look what he did. He had total freedom. Same thing in Mussolini's Italy. Same thing in Stalin's Russia. And same thing in Nero's Rome. Man in his total freedom, all he does is sin. The only thing that makes man decent and our nation decent, we have a good life and people go to heaven, is when you obey God's word. You have to give up your freedom to obedience to God's word, or you will destroy everything. The only reason someone doesn't obey God's word is to sin. So this idea that man's freedom, and you hear that, I hear that all the time, all these talk show hosts, man's freedom, 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 freedom. They even sing songs about it, and then they try to say they're Christians. Well, it's absolutely anti-Christ. The whole doctrine here is anti-Christ. The only true doctrine of Jesus Christ is a theocracy under Jesus Christ, his word, the Bible.
Yeah, and just to jump in, Victor, my goal here in this world is not theocracy. My goal is to see Jesus return and set up his kingdom on the earth. And until that time comes, to be a disciple and to make disciples and to be salt and light in the midst of the culture. But Victor, to reiterate something you said, though, that human freedom goes the wrong direction. If you set a human free without divine constraint and without divine restraint, we're going in one direction and one direction only. It's only the mercy and grace of God that transforms us. Hey, thank you for the call. Friends, I've been blessed by some callers today just reminding me of what this broadcast means to them. Very encouraging, very heartening to hear. Even a caller saying earlier that what gives her hope for America is that people like me are on the air. Now, there are plenty of fine voices on the air and plenty doing an excellent job in many ways. There are things, though, that we are called to stand for, and sadly, very few are standing for these things. Read my two latest articles, Monday, Why I Reject the Contemporary, It's All About Me Gospel, and today, The Apostasy of World Vision. Do you appreciate the stands that we take? Oh, I'm not doing it to win human favor. I'm not doing this to get people happy with me. In fact, people get enraged. People are upset constantly. I mean, that is day and night. You get mocked and you get abused for the gospel. That's fine. And when you stand for righteousness, all the more do people come against you. But if you appreciate this work, then partner with us. Join together. Stand with us as a fellow worker. And the best way to do that is as a torchbearer, a monthly supporter. Put aside a dollar a day if you're able to do that. For some, it's a sacrifice. For some, you can put aside $100 a day and not even know it because you're blessed with so much in resources. But put aside at least a dollar a day. Become a monthly torchbearer. I want to send you as a special gift a book that every day that goes by becomes more important than the day before. That is my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, with postage. It's a $35 value, 700-page hardcover. My gift to you as you become a new torchbearer. And then every month, we'll send you a new message of mine that's been preached, so your heart will be stirred by that. A special prayer update later, letter with highlights and testimonies. You'll also get free access to our online classes. And in addition, you'll get a 15% discount on our online bookstore. So we'll bless you many ways back as you stand with us. But call today, 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. Let us know, hey, I want to partner with you. I want to be part of this work together. Or go to my website, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org, and click on Donate to become a monthly torchbearer today.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on the line of fire. I'm looking at some incredible quotes from Hudson Taylor. I happened to pick up again his autobiography. I didn't realize it was the same thing I had read years ago, so I remembered the stories, but I was really stirred as I read them. And Hudson Taylor shares some of his life experiences on the power of prayer. I want to talk to you about that a little bit later in the broadcast. 866-34-TRUTH. We've been talking about the here we go. Right-wing watch, anti-gay activists blast World Vision for welcoming married gay Christians. Take a look at that article in a moment. But we've been talking about judgment on America. We've been talking about the gospel message that we preach today that starts with me, and it goes, God is somehow obligated to make me happy, as opposed to us being here to serve God. When you serve God, you'll find true happiness. Yeah, when you serve God, you'll find love that you've never known existed. When you serve God, you'll find freedom, true freedom. But the American way of putting the flesh first and God here to please us, as opposed to recognizing our guilt before Him and we're here to please Him, we've got it so messed up and backwards. Joey, clip number one, I want to play this. There was a gay pride event in Charlotte last year. Some of our folks went out with questionnaires and talked to the participants. And there were two young ladies who said that they were Christian, and they were asked about homosexual practice. And you've got to hear this answer.
Being gay is a lifestyle. Having gay sex is a sin.
It's a sin, but I'm not against it. I think you're forgiven no matter what.
Okay.
You're forgiven for everything except not believing.
But so you support people having gay sex, or
yeah,
no?
I think that you can't help your heart sometimes.
And you're a Christian?
Yes, I'm a Christian.
Okay.
By the way, the voice you heard there, the male voice, was none other than Matt, who is our producer. Yeah, if you've wondered what Matt sounds like, that's what he sounds like. We didn't manufacture those quotes. Those were not actresses that we hired to say those things. You heard those things with your own ear. In fact, I want to replay it. Just notice this. It's a sin, but I'm not against it. And it's a sin, but you can't help your own heart. Just listen to this clip once more.
Being gay is a lifestyle. Having gay sex is a sin.
It's a sin, but I'm not against it. I think you're forgiven no matter what.
Okay.
You're forgiven for everything except not believing.
But so you support people having gay sex, or
yeah,
no?
I think that you can't help your heart sometimes.
And you're a Christian?
Yes, I'm a Christian.
Okay.
Yeah. Of course, these young ladies, may the Lord have mercy on them and really bring them to Himself. These young ladies were there at the gay pride event to celebrate the event. That's one. They said that homosexual sex, gay sex, is a sin, quote, but I'm not against it. And, yeah, you, of course you support people doing it because you can't help what's in your heart. Wow. Just amazing. So, Matt, what did I say? I'm not getting your comment there. I'm obviously missing something, so you can explain it to me. During the break, 866-34-TRUTH. I want to get to a few more of your phone calls, and I also want to tell you some stories to build your faith, to encourage you. Just a reminder, though, that you can download an entire series I did on the subject of revival absolutely free, just through the end of this month. No strings attached. It's yours to keep. It's a big download. It's about 24 hours of teaching. So download it on your computer, then transfer the files to your MP3 player, your tablet, or your smartphone. Revival. When I started to teach on this about 25 years ago, systematically, my heart burning for the subject, I strongly encourage you to take advantage of this free download. It's right on my website, askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org. You'll see it in a matter of moments when you go there. We'll be right back.
It's It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, just a quick shout out to Right Wing Watch. Thanks for the quotes. Kyle, thank you for the quotes. Anti-gay activists blast World Vision for welcoming married gay Christians. And here we have quotes from Franklin Graham, from Yours Truly, and from Albert Moeller, from Matt Barber, from Brian Fisher, from Peter LaBarbera. Thanks for the quotes. Thanks for sharing what we had to say. And Kyle, you should call the show one day. Tell me why you disagree so passionately. Is it a God issue with you? Is it a faith issue? Is it no God, no faith? Is it a different approach to faith? Is it just political? Let me know. 866-34-TRUTH. I want to take a few more phone calls, and then I want to give you some words of encouragement. Let's go to Atlanta, Georgia. Sinatra, thank you for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, hello. Can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
Oh, fantastic. I was feeding my son here. My apologies, but I got him listening to your show. I just want to say it's fantastic. He's only 13 months, but I need him to hear this kind of logic, which comes from the Holy Spirit every day.
All right. Great. Thank you.
I want to speak on the judgment. I think it's incredible. Here's my son here. He's kind of upset, but I think it's incredible. I'm in the music business, and I was at a film shoot the other day, and I was talking to a fellow believer. I'm a Christian in the Christian music business. And I asked the guy, I said, you know, what do you think we're saved from? The guy said, I have no clue. I said, well, according to the scripture, we're actually saved from the wrath of God.
Yes. Hey, tell you what, just because of your little one crying there, I'm going to jump in for you. And first, hey, little guy, 13 months old, you're getting immersed pretty quick. But yes, Sinatra, great question. What are you saved from? What are you being saved from? What? That's something to ask someone. Are you saved? Yeah, I'm saved. Well, saved from what? Saved is not just I'm tall, I'm short, I'm a man, I'm a woman, I'm black, I'm white, I'm Gentile, I'm Jewish, I have brown eyes, I have blue eyes. No. Saved means saved from something. Have we been saved from sin? Have we been saved from judgment? If not, what is salvation? Of course, people don't appreciate salvation because they don't have a concept of being saved from anything. By the way, just a quick announcement, Sinatra and others listening in Atlanta on WNIV, we need to get a whole lot more listener support from the area, because of which, starting this coming Monday, so Monday, March 31st, we will not be coming away on radio in Atlanta. We've done everything we could to not have to go off certain stations, but we have no choice because of lack of funds. As soon as we have more listener support, God willing, we'll be back on, and we hope to have expanded time in the future. Stations love the broadcast. That's not the issue. The issue is that we have not heard from enough of you, and we stretched every way we know how to try to make it possible to be on the air. Nonetheless, so that's the bad news. The good news is, as the support is there again, we hope to be on back on these stations in even greater force than before. But there's immediate good news, which is that you don't have to miss a second. If you're at home, you can listen online. Just go to my website, askdrbrown.org, and click on Listen to the Line of Fire. And also on the road, you can listen on your cell phone. And that may even be more convenient for you. You may be able to get it in even a wider area. You can still listen on your cell phone. There are apps that are free to download, and we'll tell you how to do that at the end of the week so that you don't have to miss a split second. In fact, you can catch two full hours that way if you like. All right, thank you, sir, for the call. Very important question. Saved from what? Saved from wrath, saved from judgment, saved from sin. Let's go to Rick in Dallas, Texas. Hey, Rick, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Oh, hi. Thank you so much for taking my call.
You're very welcome.
I don't think there's any doubt that judgment's coming. I mean, that's something that our Lord told us would be coming one day. I think what's encouraging for me is that you know, the harvest field here in America is very ripe. It doesn't take a stretch of the imagination to see that a lot of the people that are living in the darkness right now are still, they're reaching for something that they don't know what it is and can't get a hold of it. So even as, you know, gay rights are expanded, et cetera, there's still a gap there in the human heart. You know, there's, you know, ever-increasing credit card debts. It's clear people are looking for something. They just don't know what it is. And it creates this opportunity for us to really share with them what we're saved from, and that they can have that acceptance in Christ too. What saddens me is that I think the situation has created an opportunity for within Christian believers to see some sort of a scale of sin where some people may believe that they are more righteous than others because they don't practice a certain lifestyle. And if we just took a step back and looked at ourselves, a lot like the parable Jesus said in Luke 7, where you know, he referred to, you know, two people, one loving God more because more sins were forgiven for that person. If we could take a step back and look at that as my heart is just dark as, you know, someone who may be committing more outward and blatant sins against the Lord, but the salvation is the same for me as it would be for that person. That would create this passion and this empathy for others to be able to share the word.
Yeah, if we recognize universal lostness, if we recognize the mercy that God's had on us, look, I address issues, say, about homosexual activism because it's everywhere in our culture, because God's laid it on my heart to do it, because it is knocking at the doors of our schools, of our religious liberties, or now the compromise of an organization like World Vision. But the fact of the matter is, a man sleeping with a man is guilty in God's sight. A man lusting after a woman is guilty in God's sight. A man neglecting his children is guilty in God's sight. A Christian living in the flesh and not seeking God is guilty. So there is this universal guilt and universal mercy. Universal mercy through the cross offered indiscriminately to all if we'll turn and ask for mercy. Rick, you're right, and I do appreciate the comments. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Carl in Atlanta, George. All right, let's try. Let's go to Laura in Dallas, Texas. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire. Are you there?
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air, Laura.
Hi. My name is, I just wanted to comment. I am, I'm a young woman and I am a bisexual woman, but I have not acted upon it, you know, engaging in acts with another woman simply because, you know, definitely don't want to, engage in that lifestyle. I feel that that's something that if you go down that path, you can't turn back, or it's hard to turn back. And, I think a lot of Christians look at gay people as, you know, well, that's not, you know, you can't be born like that. That's a sin. You're hated. And I'm not saying that you are, you know, you look at it like that. I appreciate everything that you have said. You know, it's all equal. Sin is all equal in God's eyes. You know, I think first we must manifest in gay people the desire to have a relationship with Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And then, you know, from there is a desire to, you know, live like him. And the desire to read God's word. And in God's word, it says, you know, a homosexual act, you know, is forbidden by me. And so, you know, I think that we must embrace, you know, gay couples inside churches, because other than that, how can we spread the word? How can we, if we don't invite them into our churches, how can we feed them the word?
Right. And the question is, if we want to reach out, let's say someone came into our building and came into our church service, and this person was an alcoholic, right? Or this person was a drug addict. Okay, well, right there during the service, they're not sitting there getting drunk. But if they came in, they were a little tipsy, would we let them in? Yes. If somebody was high on drugs and they came in, would we let them in? Yes. And we'd preach the gospel. Well, the same way, you may have two women come in, that are in a lesbian relationship and they sit next to each other and it's clear they're in a relationship. I don't mean they're kissing there, but it's clear they're in a relationship or maybe sitting there holding hands. Well, we want them to hear the gospel. It may make people uncomfortable, but we want them to hear the gospel. And yes, you're absolutely right. The issue is relationship with God. And just this one word to you, Laura. You know, Jesus tells all of us we have to deny ourselves. And every one of us,
exactly.
There are things in our flesh. Look, I'm a married man, but I'm a man. I have to deny lustful thoughts. I have to deny desire to look or, you know, whatever. And then there are a thousand other things every day of our lives. The obedience to God says yes to him, no to the flesh. Hey, Laura, may the Lord keep you strong and may he be glorified through you. And the more you follow him and walk with him, you'll be surprised to see many of your desires actually change as well. God bless you. Thanks for the call.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Let me just read a quick quote to you from Leonard Ravenhill. He said, if I was to ask you tonight if you were saved, you say, yes, I'm saved. When? Oh, so-and-so preached, I got baptized, and, well, are you saved? What are you saved from? Hell? Are you saved from bitterness? Are you saved from lust? Are you saved from cheating? Are you saved from lying? Are you saved from bad manners? Are you saved from rebellion against your parents? Come on! What are you saved from? That's a big question for each of us. If you did not read my article, Why I Reject the Contemporary Gospel, it's all about me. Go to my website, AskDrBrown.org. Click on latest article. You'll see that along with the apostasy of world vision. I'll talk more about that second article on the broadcast tomorrow. But I want to encourage your faith before we are done today. I was reminded, reading the autobiography of Hudson Taylor, I was reminded by how remarkably God answered prayer in his life and ministry. My hope for America's future is not in the political system. My hope for America's future is not in our ingenious ways to create solutions and develop new things. My hope for America is not in God's people, because there's so much compromise in the midst of the church. My hope is in the Lord. My hope is in the Lord, and therefore is ever bright and ever fresh, no matter how discouraging things may be around us. My hope is in the living God. Hosea 6, in the midst of judgment coming on Israel, the word is, if they'll turn and repent, as surely as the sun rises, he will appear. Hudson Taylor said this: it's always helpful to us to fix our attention on the Godward aspect of Christian work, to realize that the work of God does not mean so much man's work for God as God's own work through man. So when we put him first and please him, then he does extraordinary things on our behalf. Furthermore, in our privileged position of fellow workers with him, while fully recognizing all the benefits and blessings to be bestowed on a sin-stricken world through the proclamation of the gospel and spread of the truth, we should never lose sight of the higher aspect of our work, that of obedience to God, of bringing glory to his name, of gladdening the heart of our God and Father by living and serving as his beloved children. Although Hudson Taylor was raised in the faith, he became a real questioner and skeptical. When he was just a teenager in his mid-teens, he kind of gave up hope of being saved. And he finally got to a place of, he had some free time. He saw a tract that was in the office in the library where he was. And as he read it, God began to deal with him heavenly, and he was wonderfully born again. His mother was away for a few weeks at that time, so he told his sister his secret that he had been born again. But he said, don't tell anyone. Well, remarkably, his mother, the day of his salvation, the day that he came to know the Lord, she had gotten to a place of real spiritual determination, and she got alone. She got alone with God, and she prayed, and she sought God, and she prayed, and she sought God, and she cried out until she knew that she knew that she knew that that day, the same day that he just happened to pick up his track, that day, he was born again. She knew it, and she got a total assurance from God. What happens? She gets back sometime later, some weeks later, and he comes to the door to greet her, and he says, "I have something wonderful to tell you." She says, I know you've been born again. I know." And she said, he said, "Well, what did Amanda, did my sister tell you?" She goes, no, the Lord told me." I mean, this is early in his life. This is how he gets saved, and his mother's prayer. I remember during the days of the Brownsville revival that there were times where, remember one man came with his wife and had eight kids. His daughter was involved doing youth ministry, but she was not a believer. She did not know the Lord. Her heart was hard towards God, but she was doing youth ministry in her church, just something she did growing up. She didn't know God. And this mom and dad are at our service, and they pray with one of the pastors there in the church in Pensacola. And they pray for the Holy Spirit to touch her. And that very hour, the conviction of God falls upon her, and she gets wonderfully saved and ended up going to our ministry school and graduating from there. I remember another woman had gotten to the end of herself in the relationship with her husband. He was not right with God. He was living in sin. It was at the breaking point. She came to the services. We prayed together. Different ones prayed together with her for the husband. This was whatever the night was. Let's say it was a Friday night, but it was nighttime. He comes home. The house is empty because she's at these meetings. He comes home, and as he walks into the house, he'd walked into it many times before, he walks into the house, and the presence of God is there, and he becomes overwhelmed with conviction and cries out to God and gets born again. Gets born again. As people were praying for him, the Holy Spirit fell in that house, and he came under conviction. Our great hope is in the living God. Our great hope is in the power of God. That's why Hudson Taylor said, "You must go forward on your knees." And it's a lesson for me. It's a lesson for you. It doesn't matter how well we can do things. We need the power of God. We need the transformation of God. We need visitation. We need revival. Have you downloaded my 16-lecture series on revival? It's absolutely free. About 24 hours of teaching. When I was writing the book, The End of the American Gospel Enterprise, and reading so much about revival, praying, fasting for revival, I taught this series about 25 years ago, and we've distributed it ever since. You've had to pay for it up until this month, but it's a free download. We've never done this before. We want to get it to the maximum number of people and help spark revival in your heart, your life, your church, your community, this nation. So get the free download. You can do it by going to Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. Askdrbrown.org. And when you do that, you'll see the first or second slide on the homepage, free download. No strings attached. We just want you to have it. It's yours to keep. Also, we have a really important resource. As we talk about the need for moral and cultural change and revolution, and I mean it, Jesus Revolution, sweeping through our culture. A really important book, Revolution. It's the Jesus call to change the world, along with a beautiful card printed with 10 steps that you can take to be a Jesus revolutionary. It's 10 commitments of a Jesus revolutionary. The book and the card I want to send, the card you put in your Bible or in this book to carry around to give you these practical steps. So, yours to keep. Your gift of any size, I want to send these out to you. 1-800-278-9978. Stand with us, partner with us, so together we can make a difference. Call right now, 1-800-278-9978. One more time, that's 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, without question, we are in dire straits in America, the worst I've ever seen in the nation. The good news is our God lives. If you cry out to him, he will hear, he will answer.